This is Eat Your Kimchi Radio.
It's time for.
So what you're saying is Eat Your Kimchi. On SBS Pop Asia.
Hello, this is Simon.
And this is Martina.
And we're broadcasting out of Kichijoji, the weirdest part of Tokyo, Japan.
We got some stories to tell you guys today.
But first, before we start our storytelling about how weird, the really weird things we saw in Kichijoji, I have to let you know, Martina's feeling pretty sad right now. Do you want to tell them what just happened?
It's too try. I can't talk about it. It's too soon.
Okay, so a couple days ago, we wound up doing a typhoon live stream because we got a warning that a typhoon is coming. It turns out that the day that the warning happened, it was just a beautiful sunny day. So our live stream was just sunshine and roses. but the typhoon is hitting now, and we got severe thunderstorms happening. And we don't have any food in the house.
Yeah, so we have bicycles. So we were both like, should we put on our rain jackets and like get out, you know, via bicycle and go to Petit Maruetsu and buy some food?
Petit Maruetsu is a name of a supermarket, kind of like, but it's a small one because it's petite.
Petite. Except it's really windy and like sideways rain. It's not the kind of rain that you're like supposed to be out in.
No, it's not fun rain.
So we said, well, why don't we order some delivery?
Right.
And
so we ordered koku curry, Martina's favorite, and you got a vegetable curry.
I'm trying to watch my weight.
Yes.
So instead of getting the beef-based curry, which has a lot more calories in it, I went for the vegetarian one.
Yes.
Which Simon had before, and it wasn't that bad when you had spice in it.
It's actually, if you make a spice in it, it's actually quite nice.
Yeah, so I was a really good girl. I made my own eggplant at home.
Yeah.
I prepped it with some onions. Mm-hmm. I just did a vegetable curry with a little bit of mushrooms.
Level 10 spice.
Yep. And it arrived.
And when you opened it up, you looked at it, and it looked really pale.
Yeah.
Because usually when you get really spicy stuff, it gets really dark and really red.
You can see like an oil level from the spice they've added in.
Martina's was really, really pale and soft, almost like a sad banana.
It was like a level 2.
It was a level 2 spice.
When we say sad banana, we mean like a banana you left out. Like
right.
You cut it open and then it's turning that awful yellow
brown.
Well,
of course, like what other description is there of a sad banana? You expect like a banana face with a frown on it? Of course,
That's exactly my visual.
A sad banana is an old brown banana.
I pictured you holding, oh, but you're talking about the outside skin.
Yeah.
Oh, see, I was picturing the koku curry the color of when you peel a banana and you let it oxidize and it's that pale browny yellow. I wasn't thinking the outside of a banana.
Well, the whole point is that yours was. So then you didn't eat it because koku curry is good, but it's amazing when it's spicy. And if you don't have spices, like why bother?
No, I was also mad because it costs extra to add it to level 10.
Sure.
And so I paid someone to deliver their meal all the way to my door and for me to not have what I paid for.
Right.
And so I kept it in the fridge and I'm going to go to the store because I know where it comes from.
Yeah.
And I'm going to give them a very gentle ripping in of my mind.
Right.
I'm going to say this is not level 10 curry and like I want a refund because why did I pay money for this?
Because like then the problem was like Martina was hungry, so do we get on our bikes and go there right away? Well, if that's what we do and then we wind up getting our Coca curry, they could probably like fix it and make a new one there, but they were just stuck in the rain, which is what we're trying to avoid with this. And if we don't eat it, then we still have the problem of Martina being hungry, which is what we're trying to avoid with this. We had two birds we tried to kill with one stone: staying dry and getting fed. And you know what, only thing we could do is stay dry.
Well, so the other problem is that like when you have high pressures coming in like this, I'm in a lot of pain. So I didn't sleep well last night. I had the shoots, the shooting pains.
Right.
I was exhausted.
It's the barometric pressure that really bears down on you.
That bears down on me. The barometric pressure.
It's my job to do dad jokes. You're foreboding.
But notice how I went into a male voice to represent Simon. Simon. I don't think I'm buff, but I am.
Where are you getting this not buff?
Because you're always like, I'm such a small boy, I need to work out more. I'm like, Ducky, you look great.
Well, I still have goals that I want to achieve, and that's why I'm working out.
I think you look wonderful.
Yes, because you love me, and you're looking at me with your doughy eyes, and even though you're like,
what do you mean doughy? Are you saying that I'm fat?
Doughy. You know when someone looks at someone with doughy eyes, it's a saying. You know exactly what I mean.
It has to do with deers, I know.
Yes.
Big deer, big doe deer eyes.
Uh-huh.
Never seen a doe in real life. Anywho, the point is that I'm a bit of the crankers.
Right.
I feel cranky.
Spicy koku curry helps you with your pain a little bit.
Yeah, it makes me feel burny in my mouth and not burny in the rest of my body. So I'm always like, feel that burn. So I feel like telling them that I have a medical condition and they've ruined my life.
You know what's going to make you feel better?
What?
Telling the story about how bizarre our last night was. This is one of the weirdest nights that we've had in a very long time. And nothing like aliens or anything along those lines, but lots of random
strange
tiny observances that really made me think, did somebody spike the punch?
So we're going to take you today on a storytelling adventure from our front door.
Okay.
Out into the Kichijoji main world and back to our front door again.
Sure.
Where we looked at each other and said, did someone put something in our food or did that happen? Because, guys, we had an amazing night.
It was amazing is a good word for it.
Yeah, amazing is a good word for it. Okay. So here's how it all started.
Yep.
The typhoon was coming towards us.
Yes.
It was raining, but not quite the rain that it is today and yesterday.
Right.
It was like a gentle spittling. But enough that I was not feeling great. So Simon said, you know what? Let's head out for a bit of an adventure. Let's go see the world instead of staying inside the house. And I said, Ducky, you're right.
Uh-huh.
I had no makeup on. We didn't look nice. We put on
You always look nice, girl, even if you don't have makeup.
Thanks, Ducky.
You're always a beautiful girl.
With his doe eyes.
Are you calling me fat? They said I was buff. Sorry.
I guess your steer eyes, because you're a boy. Those are girls, aren't they?
I have no idea.
Let me know, your kimchi, if those are girls. Anywho.
Continue.
So Simon said, let's put on our little couple rain jackets and let's head out for a walk. Mm-hmm. Because we couldn't take our bike out, which is something we usually do as a nice adventure to get out of the house. And lately it's been quite tough for me to hold umbrellas for a long period of time. It hurts my shoulders a lot.
Right.
So we decided, all right, let's head out on this adventure. So we put on our rain jackets together. We went out into the rain. And the first thing we said to each other was, why don't people wear rain jackets more often?
Exactly.
Because everybody's on their bikes covered in these hilarious looking, you look like a squid because you have no arms.
You look like an octopus.
An octopus, right. Because you're covered, your whole body's covering your bike.
You have the little point of the head and then you have these little, it looks like you're just floating.
Yeah, and everyone else is holding these big umbrellas and it hurts your shoulders and you can't hold a coffee in your hand and hold a bag. And we're like, this is amazing.
Let's wear rain jackets instead.
About 20 minutes in, we realized why people don't wear rain jackets, which is because our knees got really wet.
Oh my gosh, my knees are so wet.
I mean, I'm still going to keep wearing my rain jacket, but it was funny because the rain started to come down quite hard.
Exactly.
So at the beginning, it was fine. But halfway through, we were like, we've made a terrible mistake. Uh-huh. So our knees were wet, our feet were wet, and when we tried to hold hands, the rain would go down our sleeves.
Yes. So, but it was affectionate.
It was lovely.
It was lovely.
I loved it. I'll definitely do it again.
Uh-huh.
10 out of 10 would do again.
Yeah.
So Simon said, let's go somewhere we've never gone before.
So we walked to a street. Martina was trying to make me take the long way around, which was a street with ramen shops along the way because she wanted ramen. And I said, no, we're going to go to a restaurant that we've never tried before. So there's this street right by Kichijoji Station
the back street of the train station. So it has all the cool little shops.
Right. So it's a street that's closer towards the park.
Yeah.
Nokashira Park. And we don't usually walk around there at night because there's something about it that's slightly seedy.
So seedy.
It's not very, because Yodobashi area behind there, that's where it gets really seedy. But right around here by the station, it's kind of seedy. You see a whole bunch of guys in business suits
trying to get people into host
trying to get people
stuff.
Like they got the slick back hair, and I'm like, I think that you're trying to make something happen that I'm sure the police might not be totally into.
Well, mostly I'm not into that street nighttime because that's kind of it reminded me a lot of Hongdae when we were in Korea.
Yeah,
it's very much the young, youthful, people are going to Tarikizoku and other places, and it's loud and partying, and that's okay. But I'm kind of getting over that stage in my life.
Right,
that's why Bakugurai is so great. It's still loud, it's still noisy, but it's older people.
Yes.
This is kind of the young, you'll see big groups of people in their 30 people in their 20s all hanging around. And
the question is, if there's a group of older people being noisy and younger people being noisy, if you were to close your eyes, could you hear the difference?
Yes, you definitely can.
And what's the main difference?
Well, we talked about this before when we saw that girl doing that obvious
fake laughs.
Flirt.
Oh,
so this is something you observe.
God.
Simon and I are big people watchers. We love to watch people. And one of the things I've noticed
I thought you were big people watchers. We like to watch big people.
Only
we don't like small people, but
if
there's a big person, we got to look at that. That reminds me, today I saw a gigantic St. Bernard when I took Spudgy to the vet. The biggest dog I've seen probably in the past decade. It was a massive St. Bernard,
right?
And it was white, and it actually had spots on his face like a cow. And when I spoke with the lady about it, she's like, yeah, sometimes people ask if he's been crossbred with a cow.
Oh my God.
But he wasn't. He's just the same for now. Sorry. We're big people watchers. We like to look at big people.
And big dogs.
And big doggies.
Anywho, so one thing you'll notice is that, like, as you get older, you tend to, like, look and see the way different ages work, right?
Yes.
And so whenever you see people that are kind of, like, young, maybe, like, in their 18 to 25s, uh-huh. and they are with the groups of people that they're not necessarily dating, but maybe they're into, mm-hmm. like, you can tell it's, like, maybe a university project or, like, a high school project, there's this particular kind of, like, fake laugh that occurs uh-huh. between girls and guys uh-huh. where they're trying to impress someone.
It's a laugh of low confidence.
Yeah.
It's a laugh of like kind of like I'm trying to make other people feel kind of like ha ha. It's not like a real sincere kind of laugh.
Yeah.
Like it's like some people might sound like that, but you know that there's a twang of like yeah. I'm trying to like be ameliorable.
Yeah. You can also see people's facial reactions. Like when Whoa, someone is hold genuinely laughing.
I just
laughing.
Used the word ameliorable.
Yeah.
Did you ever hear that word before?
No.
But you're just like acknowledging as if it's a real word.
I went with it.
You
were trying to
say like, amiable, ameliorable.
Right, but I just guess that it's a combination between...
Like amicable?
Yeah, amicable and amiable.
Or amicable.
I don't know.
Is it amicable or amicable?
Why are you doing this to me?
Because I like to be...
Do you want to explain to people what the word means or do you want to grill me on this?
Go ahead.
Did you want to tell everyone what the word means?
Ameliorable. I'm pretty sure because I remember when I was younger in grade...
Don't forget to send Simon in.
Sorry. When I was in grade 12, I bought like a vocabulary book in which I learned 5 new words a day and ameliorable.
Nerd!
I think, yes, you know, so what? This is the first time... Okay, we're going to talk about nerdiness in a bit, but this was the first time in real life that I actually got to use it in a conversation. Ameliorable is kind of like being pleasant and kind of like trying to push the conversation along as well. Like, yeah, like you're being ameliorable.
Sure.
I gotta look this word
got
up.
It.
I haven't seen it in
send
like a
Simon
decade.
A tweet if he's
okay,
wrong.
Fine, whatever.
Anywho, hashtag Simon's wrong.
A M E L I O R A B L E, ameliorable.
And Simon wins the spelling bee.
Woo!
Anywho,
okay, fake laughing.
Rippity tip taps from the Spudgy who was at the brink of death, but somehow managed.
We thought he was gonna die yesterday.
Around the house. He's like, I'm okay.
He's fine now.
You know why he's fine? He doesn't want to go back to the vets. Every time we take him to the vet, he's like, whoa.
He was shaking so much.
I know. It's
today.
So heartbreaking.
Really sad.
So now he's like, I'm totally fine, guys.
But
look.
I think he really wanted to see the St. Bernard. I should have let him out.
You didn't let him out to see the St. Bernard?
No, because then Spudgy probably would have peed on everything in anger.
Peed on the St. Bernard.
Spudgy's a vindictive urinator.
It's true. I am. But anyways, back to the story, guys. You're so distracted.
Thanks, Spudgy, for bringing us back on track, buddy.
Go on.
Anyhow. There's all these groups of people that are kind of doing those like chuckles and laughing. And you can tell by the way body language as well. Like when people are really laughing, your face kind of crunches up. You don't look great.
You laugh through your eyes.
Yeah. You have really big smile eyes and you often like, garf almost like you have a laugh that is not everyone's laugh is like a pretty laugh. We have laughs that are sincere and genuine that show that we're actually laughing.
Yeah.
But when people are like, there's like a feeling, right?
And you can see like how like people's like feet are pointed, like how wide their stances are, like if they're pointing towards you, if they're pointing away, if they're like if their feet are close together, then they're kind of like more tightly reserved.
Like
and whatnot.
Sometimes you'll see a guy or a girl leaning into somebody a lot and the other person's leaning away from them looking at another guy or girl. And like it's kind of like funny to watch these, you know, love blossomings and stuff like that.
That's always one of my symbols. There you go. That's always one of my signs whenever I'm like at a networking event, kind of like when we were in Australia and you're like talking to a whole bunch of new people. I always know when in the conversation when I see where their feet are pointing.
Yeah.
If I see that their shoulders point away for a little bit or like their feet point away, I'm like, oh, it's a pleasure to meet you, and I go on to somewhere else.
Yeah.
And I end the conversation before it gets too awkward.
Yeah, because there's like subconscious signals we do as human beings that show if we're comfortable or not.
Right.
And there's ways that you can make other people comfortable.
And with loud young people, then you see a lot of signs of discomfort sometimes.
Yeah. And so I don't mind that like once in a while. But when you hang out with older people, like when you go to Bakawarai and people are probably in their, I would say mid-20s and up at Bakawarai, right? You see a lot more comfort. Like you're going to be sitting intimately at a bar. And by bar, I mean, remember I told you guys before about that like hipster bar, the bar that goes in front of the...
kitchen,
where you sit down,
right?
Remember, I had an actual
the counterculture,
yes. Like literal counterculture,
culture at the counter.
Yeah, you can't be with someone who you don't know or you're uncomfortable with because you're sitting really close to them,
right?
You're talking quite intimately, and for people to strike a conversation with strangers, I think you have to be quite comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
So we've met so many fun people at Bakawarai randomly, where the night doesn't end with let's exchange numbers; it ends with bye, see you next time.
Yeah,
like there, it's just like a meeting of a person. You share food, you drink together, and then you head out.
There are a lot of of people that we've met in like Kichijoji in Tokyo as well, in which like we're out doing our own thing and we just like start having conversations with other mm-hmm. random people. Mm-hmm. And we don't exchange contact information afterwards. We're like, hey, this was a good time. Enjoy yourself. Maybe we'll see each other later. And that's it. And like it's weird. Just like that's a single serving kind of night.
But I think that as you get older, you become comfortable with that.
It's a one night stand for conversations.
Especially if you're at a standing table.
Yes.
It's literally a one night stand. But when you meet with people that are like a lot younger, uh-huh. I think there's that discomfort that people have of like, well, what if they don't like me? Or like, what if I don't like them? Or like, what if I say something weird? I'm like, I don't care if you say something weird.
Yeah.
Own it. Be weird and be confident, and I'm happy with you, you know?
Speaking of like being weird and confident, we actually have a friend who is a little bit uncomfortable around other people that we just started hanging out with recently. And I like every time we part ways, I always like go in for a handshake, not a hug, but just like a handshake. And I'll shake his hands and I'll do like two quick shakes, like a 1-2 and then a really long 1-3. And I could always see that he's uncomfortable with it. And I'm just like roiling in it. It's delightful to see how uncomfortable he is.
Good job.
That's kind of mean of me, isn't it? That's not mean. That's playful. I know that he's later on, like when our friendship blossoms a little bit more, I'll let him know that I intentionally made him uncomfortable.
And then he will go, I see how this is.
I see. Yeah. The point is that loud, rowdy, younger people are on this street
and
that we don't often go on.
Yes, we don't often go on it.
Right.
Where were we? So
we went
on
the street. Yes.
So we're wandering on the street. There's lots of people laughing. There's drunk people. It's a really good vibe. Even though it's raining, there are guys chasing each other with umbrellas, like opening and closing them, trying to splash them on each other.
Yes.
There are girls squealing because they're stepping in puddles. It's a real nice vibe. Uh-huh. And Simon goes, wait a second. Chotto matte kudasai. And he points and he goes, is that a Thai food restaurant?
Yeah.
There is this glowing stairwell
that
we have not ever seen before.
Never, ever, ever, never, 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 ever, never, ever, ever.
And we
never.
Walk down the street almost every day to go to our bikes. Right. And we look at it and I open up Google Maps to see what the ratings are. Uh-huh. It doesn't exist.
Yeah.
It's not on the map.
No.
Which is quite rare because Japan's very good at locations.
Exactly.
So then I thought maybe it's a new place, but it looks quite worn in and old.
You could see because like, you know, like sometimes when you see signs that have been like sun bleached, like they're out in the sun for too long and then like they wind up getting the fading as a result. This had some sun bleaching on its signage.
And new places in Japan will have flowers out front and then it'll have wilted flowers that are like the dead flowers and you always know it's new.
Right.
So we went, all right, let's check out this place.
So this is an old place that's been around here for a while.
So we look up the hallway. It's this glowing orange light.
Right.
It's all covered in white. There's a huge IKEA puffy lamp at the top of the stairs.
And this is at like 10 o'clock at night also, so we're kind of worried that like some places just start to close down.
We said, you know what, let's just go for it.
Uh-huh.
So we walked up the stairs. Simon opens up the door and it's just this glorious little cozy place.
Yeah.
Everyone there is still eating. There's at least six other people there.
Yeah.
They're like, come on in.
Right.
So we grab a seat in the corner and we look at the menu. And it is very difficult, by the way, to read Japanese in a different language.
Right.
So katakana is for foreign words.
Right.
So now you're reading Thai food.
Yes.
The name of Thai things.
Right.
Written in Thai, written in English, written in Japanese.
And the thing is we have to guess it because like even like the English words in Thai that we have for Thai food aren't the authentic Thai words.
Right.
So then when we read the katakana for the Thai food, is it that they're like making the katakana out of the English word or are they making the katakana out of the original Thai word?
So for example, pad Thai, which a lot of us know they had it on the menu, but it would be like padu thai or something. So you're reading it, you're like padu thai.
Right.
So we're going through this menu and we don't recognize a lot of these dishes.
No.
So we decide, you know what? Let's be crazy.
Mm-hmm.
We ordered some delicious Thai beer, which we never had before.
Yes.
You ordered a curry.
Right.
I ordered pad suyu.
Right.
Which wasn't pad suyu.
Yeah.
And then we ordered a vegetable dish.
Yes.
Okay. They come on out with our orders, with our beer first.
First of all, they came with the beers, and the beers didn't come with glasses. They gave us a bottle, and they also gave us these, like, metal bowls that
goblets
looked like
almost.
Like Laters.
Laters of the Lost Ark.
Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Use your R's, Ducky. Come on, practice
your
English.
Oh, my gosh. Did
Ready?
I just say Laters?
Ready?
Raiders of the Lost Ark. It looked like the chalice.
Yeah.
Like, without the stem at the bottom, it was just like this, like, really.
Ornate, really.
It was a very ornate silver cup, and it was amazing.
And it was cold.
No, it wasn't actually that cold. It was very thin. My beer was so cold that when I poured it in, like, it was so, like, it was too difficult to hold because it was that cold.
It kind of reminded me of a mint julep where you have mint julep served in the copper cups.
Yes.
But yeah.
In a way.
So we were really surprised at this.
Sure.
So then our our food comes out. We get this delicious, like, I don't even know what greens it was. It wasn't spinach. It was like some kind of Japanese greens.
I don't know what it is, but we've had it at other Thai restaurants before. And it's usually like these like stemmy, like woody kind of greens that have been like blanched for a bit and added sauteed. with blanched sauteed with some chilies and like a thick sauce.
Peanuts.
Yeah. When we get this peppers. Though, it's like really soupy. Mm-hmm. And so like when you eat it, it has like a very familiar taste of what we had before, but the bottom is like almost like a soup. So we ladled out some of the sauce and we tried some rice with it, and the sauce itself is inedible. It was super salty. Mm-hmm. So you could only eat the vegetables things themselves, themselves, but not the sauce.
But the vegetables were fantastic.
They were.
It was like perfect for them to soak in that sauce.
Exactly.
They even had authentic Thai rice.
Yes.
And so it comes in a little tiny wicker basket that you open up, and it's been saran wrapped to stay warm.
Right.
And you peel it apart, and it's that long grain sticky Thai rice.
Yeah.
Simon gets this unbelievable clay pot curry, which I've never had before in a Thai restaurant, but it's got strong Thai flavors like lemongrass.
Huge stems of lemongrass and bay leaves in there as well.
And lots of pepper flavor, coconutty.
And the thing is, like, I tasted it and I'm like, this tastes like what I know, but it tastes different at the same time. It was very bizarre.
And the last dish we got was the noodle dish, which was like, it looked like rice noodles, but they looked like thicker than rice noodles.
Exactly.
Chopped into little tiny like rectangles with tons of green pepper and red
pepper. Green peppers, but barely any red peppers. It was predominantly green peppers.
Yeah.
So the thing is, like, we've had all of these things that were familiar to us before, but they were so bizarrely made, which led us to the question itself, because I remember when we first went to Beijing.
Yeah.
And we had Chinese food there. It tasted nothing like any of the Chinese food we've ever had in Canada or America or anywhere else in the world, or even Korea as well. So we thought to ourselves, so obviously Chinese food has been changed elsewhere. Because that's like authentic Chinese. If it's in China, it's authentic Chinese food. So when we were having the Thai food here, we thought to ourselves, is this the same thing as the Thai food experience that we've been having back in Canada?
Like, have we been eating Thai food in Canada and told ourselves that? Because we've been to many, many different Thai food restaurants.
Right.
All these Thai food restaurants in Canada, are they representative of people making Pan-Asian cuisine to try to change it for North American palates? And we've never truly had Thai food.
So was this Thai food that we had in Japan like closer to authentic Thai food because we've never been to Thailand? Or is this guy just really far off? Is it just really, really far off?
But I had a second theory, which is that it could be regional. So like when we were in Beijing, Beijing Chinese food is different than other parts of China.
True.
Because China is so huge and so different for its regions. So it's possible that like when we went to Australia last time, not recently for Melbourne.
Yes.
Do you remember we had that Lao Thai food?
Lao Thai, yes.
I'd never had anything like that
before.
That
was one of my favorite Thai experiences. And no, not one of my favorite. My absolute favorite.
It was phenomenal.
It was in Sydney. I don't know if the restaurant is still around.
It wasn't even in Sydney. It was outside in the suburbs.
We had to drive
out to the suburbs.
Oh, my gosh.
Right. But so in that sense, maybe we were having regional Thai food in Japan. And do you guys know what we're talking about when I say when you go to a restaurant that's not in the country? So, for example, you're in Japan. You go for Thai food.
Yeah.
And they try to make the Thai food that you've had back home.
Yeah.
But it's just off.
Yeah.
Like, for example, you have pad Thai, but it's too sweet.
Right.
Or you have, like, Chinese food and it's just like
when
too
we had
salty
when we had Korean food in Koreatown in LA,
right?
Like the sundubu was off, like the cucumbers that they used for the mulingyun was off.
It's like the side dishes were all off.
You could see, you remember where it's from, but you could tell that there are a few things that are off.
Yeah, and it's funny because it's like I know that K-Town in LA has like a big Korean population, but isn't it possible that if you've lived in America for a long time, that you're using American ingredients and you change the food to fit the palates? And so my Korean American friends will be like, "This is really authentic," and when I eat it, I'm like, "This is not authentic."
No, it's not.
I mean,
and then our Korean friends will be like, "Yes,
yes
it is."
I'm Korean.
Be like, well, do you want to debate? Because we live in Korea. Like I eat this every day. While you're here in America, just because they have Korean people making it there doesn't make your Korean people more authentic than my Korean people back in Busan.
I know. It's like so. It's really weird to me.
Right.
So that the kind of like, so this time, this did not taste like Thai food that was trying to be made to appeal to anyone's palate, especially because the food was incredibly spicy.
Oh my gosh.
Which we love.
Yeah.
But I mean, in Japan, they're not good with spice. In Korea, they're great with spice. In Japan, they're like super babies. So the guy came over, the chef came over and he asked us in Japanese, is it okay? And we said, it's great. And he said, is it too spicy? And we said, no, we love spicy food.
But then he kind of like said, is it all right?
And he gave us
like a nod and a thumb, and then he walked away. I'm like, did he put something in my food?
Well, because let's find out.
The rest of the night just became a total Like, I'm not sure if any of this actually happened.
All right.
Okay, so we wind up leaving the Thai restaurant, and what was funny about it that we had a phenomenal laugh at is that we were the last people into the restaurant, yeah, and we were the first people to leave. Because through all of this, like, contemplation and eating and whatnot, we just hoovered our food, and we just left before people were even halfway done their dishes that they already started before we got there.
Yeah, I think maybe they were on dates, and we were like, I love you. Now we go.
Okay.
Okay, continue, Simon. Where do we go next?
We walk down to a Kushiyaki restaurant.
It is a brand new place. So I know that we just ate supper.
Yes.
But we had a pretty light because it was like we shared a bit of rice.
Girl, that wasn't light. Okay. That was okay. It wasn't light at all. Right.
It was definitely light for me at least because sure. I only had veg and then I didn't have the rice that you had. So I had liquid soup. There you go. I had liquid curry.
You know, like, it wasn't light for me because I had a workout that day, and I really get a lot hungrier whenever I work out.
So we see this brand new Kushiyaki place. If you guys are wondering, we did a video in Kyoto on a Kushiyaki place called the Magic Sticks, I think, restaurant or something.
Magic Sticks!
Yeah. So Kushiyaki is different types of food that's been battered and fried.
Yes.
But the batter on the outside is the key part because it's not tempura where it's like a panko batter with like eggs.
No. Different. Tempura is actually like a flour and like an egg base. This Kushikatsu was actually panko based. Like they had that crunch is a panko based.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So, sorry. I'm trying to say it is not like tempura.
It's not like
tempura. What I'm trying to say is that tempura has a certain kind of batter that's fluffy and puffy, and this is not like that. This is a crunchy batter.
Exactly.
So we sit down and we're like, we'll just get one or two. Like, let's just try it out. It's a brand new restaurant. Uh-huh. Let's see what happens.
We ordered seven different things, two of each. And then I also ordered the TKG, which is the tamago kaki gohan, which is like you get hot rice and like you just put like a fresh egg in there and you mix it up. And
an egg yolk.
Just a raw egg yolk, and you mix it up and it becomes creamy and delicious. Magical. And wonderful.
Like a risotto almost.
Oh my gosh. TKG, if you come. And that's what the young people say also.
Tamago kaki gohan.
When I say TKG to like older people at restaurants, like, what is that? And I'm like, oh, tamago kaki gohan. And they're like, TKG. There you go. New word you learned.
So we ordered squid.
Yes.
One of the best squid fried pieces I've ever had in my life.
Phenomenal.
I still contemplate, did we order squid or did we order something different?
Because it was
so incredibly soft and
exactly.
tender. We got the shrimp.
Yep.
We got the sweet potato.
Yeah.
We got the lotus root. We got
the asparagus,
which was the size asparagus of my forearm.
It was a forearm length of asparagus. It was monstrous.
We ordered the tomato cheese, which is a terrible idea.
Right.
I hate warm tomatoes. Uh-huh. I was like, bleh, and I gave it to you. Uh-huh. And I think that was it. I feel like there was a seventh.
There's probably lotus root. Did you say lotus root?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, then I
feel like that was it.
Okay.
Anyway, so we ordered that. We didn't expect them to be as big as they were when they came out. So we were like, oh shoot, we should split it.
But then we started looking around the restaurant like, oh, this is really interesting. Like, this is such like a nicely polished restaurant because usually when people open up their own restaurant, it doesn't have like a polished, there's like a kind of like homely, grungy feel to this.
Yeah.
But this was very, very, it seemed sterile in some ways, you know? And then we looked around at the signs and we saw, oh, they have a whole bunch of
this
other
is
chains.
A chain,
this is one of many chains. And we started thinking to ourselves, how do you have such a profit margin from these little tiny sticks?
They're like $1.20 for one piece.
Enough for you to be able to open up a whole bunch of other shops. Like I'd imagine you're operating on razor thin margins.
Yeah.
And so then when we saw this gigantic piece of potato that was like deep fried for us, Martin's like, oh, it's probably 300 yen, which is like roughly like $3.
Because
every
piece is a bit different.
Yeah. And then like Martin looked at the price and it was like $1.10. And she's like, this doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Because if you think about it, how much did we spend that night? Like, if it was like $1 and we had seven pieces, we spent like $14.
No, well, I know our bill at the end was $42. We also had beers.
Well, because we had beer and you had tamago kaki gohan.
Tamago kaki gohan as well.
I mean, I guess that's normal then. I guess it's normal that $40 is like, that's a meal. That's like a good profit for them.
And then we noticed that every time somebody leaves the restaurant, as soon as you pay your bill, they pull out the drum, they're like drumsticks, and they bang on the drums and they sing you a little song for everybody that leaves.
It was very weird.
It was very, why is everybody getting the drums and the song?
I don't know.
I don't understand.
A gigantic fan, and we contemplated if that fan was actually going to be used or not.
A real fan or not.
Yeah. So. It was a great place.
Okay, it was a great place.
It was a great place. Anyways, when we tried to leave, Simon had a bit of a hilarious meltdown because if you've ever tried to put on a rain jacket before, the sleeves like fold in weird, and Simon could not get this rain jacket on.
Exactly.
And as I got my rain jacket on, he was flailing with this on, and then he got so embarrassed because he's flailing at the entranceway and they're waiting to play the drum song for us. But they can't play it until we leave. So finally, Simon's like, I can't take it anymore.
I said, I just can't take this anymore, and I ran out of the
like joking, like because, he pulled his hoodie on.
Because I was so embarrassed. And then Martina ran after me laughing. And then like when we were thinking about it afterwards, I felt kind of bad for the restaurant because number one, they didn't get to play their drums for us.
I know.
They were about to play the drums and I just ran away before I gave them the chance to. And the second thing is that you and I were wearing completely matching outfits. We
matching
walked
shoes.
In there, matching shoes, matching like dark jeans and then matching rain jackets, holding hands lovingly. And then we're like eating our food and let's like, this is delicious, enjoying it all. And then something happened there so that I run out of the restaurant saying, I just can't take it anymore. It looks like we got a divorce to the people that are working there.
Yeah.
And the people that are working there are like, what the hell happened? Because they didn't fight. They didn't argue. The husband just screamed and ran away. So
I can only hope they don't speak English.
Yes.
And that they didn't hear what you mumbled.
Right.
And that they just assumed that you ate my shrimp and that I would never forgive you for that. Because I'm sure there's lots of kushiyaki eating that happens that people are mad at.
We started walking afterwards to Kichijoji Station. And right at the subway, there's this like little underground pass that happens like between like the south side and the north side.
So that you can get under the tracks.
Right, so you can get under the tracks. And it's not dark. It's really well lit. They got lots of nice shops and everything. So it's really, really bright. And then we saw like a camera on a tripod. And in front of the camera of the tripod, a guy was like rapping. And we thought to ourselves, oh, this guy's filming his rap video. I wonder if like we walk behind him, we could photobomb his rap video. But then the bigger thought wound up hitting me. The rap videos that I know growing up are usually two kinds of rap videos when it comes to settings. Number one, it's you rapping in the hood and talking about how hard you are. Or number two, it's you rapping somewhere rich to show how much you've made it. Right? Like you're at a club and you're throwing money around.
So it's either
like you're rapping about the struggle or you're rapping about the success.
Mm-hmm.
This guy rapping at a subway, you're rapping in Kichijoji, the best part of Japan. It is super posh. It's the most desirable place to live. Like the median income from the statistics is like the average person earns like $80,000 a year here. I didn't tell you that, Seth?
Are we surrounded by rich people?
We're surrounded by stinking rich people. Like that's just the average.
Well, I guess it makes sense because a lot of the houses near us, like we have a tiny little house.
Yeah,
we have a little house.
it's our house is I think like 90 square meters or so.
And the people beside us have like a double level with like a balcony and like our houses are.
Yeah. So we got the tiny house, but like the some of the architecture around here is stunning.
Yeah.
Like we just go for a walk sometimes at night and just look at all the beautiful houses. So I'm thinking to myself, is this supposed to be a struggle rap or is this supposed to be a posh rap? I had no idea. And it's weird because it seems like Kichijoji is starting to become like a hip hop center.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you walk past a police station, they have these like random ciphers that happen on like Friday and Saturday nights.
Which by the way, I didn't know what a cipher was. You should explain it to me.
A cipher is like when somebody is like playing, like you get a whole bunch of people in a circle and like they're playing like hip hop beats over like a boombox and then you're just freestyling.
Mm-hmm.
And they're doing that in front of the police station, which to me also seems like very like un-hip-hop-ish.
The police are like, da,
oh, man.
Go with it.
So this whole vibe of Kichijoji, like the rap and gangsterness is kind of bizarre to me. And it was nowhere nearly as challenged as when we started walking towards the Seibo.
Oh, my God. Okay, so we took Sun Road, which is a covered, like a rain-covered part of the station that you can walk through, right?
Uh-huh.
And as we were walking, the two of us were like drying off, enjoying ourselves. We heard like some kind of shouting and yelling.
Right.
And as we were approaching, we saw this big group of like Japanese dudes that
looked
like they were between, I would say like
18 to 24, but they're all wearing like only black and white clothing
and lots of hip hop. So like some guys have bleached blonde hair, which in Japan is quite unusual. Like having a bleached hair means kind of like you're not going to get a company job.
Mm.
So people associate that with like kind of like hooligans because like if you can bleach your hair, you obviously work for a company that's unreputable, right?
Lots of backwards hats and backwards pants.
Hip hop. Like they were wearing like sweaters that had like, you know, like those angry names in the back of them.
Sure.
And I thought, honestly, when I saw this happen, because it was like a circle of people and they were all kind of yelling, I thought that they were like beating someone up or like I thought there was some kind of gang thing happening.
Yeah.
Because at this point it was almost 1 a.m.
Right.
And I thought, oh my God, like what is happening right now? Do we need to like rescue people?
This is wild. I'm going to watch some like gang violence. Cool.
Not cool. What the heck? What do you mean cool?
Well, I'm a big boy. I'm not afraid.
Yeah, you're just going to run away. I don't want to see someone get beat up.
No, I'll put you on my back first and then I'll run away.
You know what's going to happen with me. I can't watch people get beat up. I'll step in and then Martina gets shot defending some gang member she doesn't know.
So the whole point is that like we were contemplating what's going to happen when we like start walking towards this gang. What were they yelling at? And when we looked closer, when we took a few steps closer
towards
them.
We're not making this up.
They were playing Double Dutch. So skip rope, really long skip rope that you like get like two people on either side, and you're like doing and the two ropes
double
at
dutch,
once.
Two ropes at once. Two you ropes gotta go at in once. Center.
And so this crew of like hooligan looking boys,
are like boop, 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 brr, brr, oh.
at like midnight 1 a.m. are doing double dutch on a Friday night. They're doing double dutch. What? This didn't make any sense. It makes no sense at all.
Do you remember when we were in Korea and we told you guys that the worst that happens is that we'll find teenagers giggling and laughing, and then it turns out they're playing badminton in the park at 1 a.m.? This was even worse than that.
This is worse.
This is a bunch of gangster-looking dudes playing double dutch.
And what was weird is that like we stifled our laughter because I was really hard for me to hold back my laughter. I was laughing through my nose.
And it wasn't that we were trying to make fun of what they were doing.
I wasn't trying to make fun of
them. It was the circumstance that we couldn't believe how wonderful and gentle
it was. Just so incongruous. It just doesn't make any sense at all. Like, how could you be that gangsta and do double dutch at midnight on a Friday?
You walk past a dude doing a rap battle in Kichijoji, then a bunch of people doing rap battles in front of the police station while the police are like, yay. And then we run upon a gang of people playing double dutch, and I'm like, this can't be happening.
And what was weird is that like when we like walk past them and like they were behind us, like we heard like after like a loud
like
applause,
roaring
and clapping, and I thought to myself, what can you possibly do in double dutch that's impressive? Because you have two options, jump or trip on a rope. Those are your two. What are you doing that it makes people clap? Because they should clap for everything then, because all you do is either jump or clap.
Did he break dance? Did
he must be break dancing in the middle of this. What can you do that's so impressive that a whole crew would be that amazed?
Here's what I want to know. I would accept 6 to 7 people playing double dutch. There were like 25 of them.
It was
like a rival double dutch team.
My gosh.
This is what they did. They gave flyers out. They're like, midnight Kichijoji outside the station.
And when we were walking past them, like another group of like young men were like coming towards us, and I thought, are they about to challenge them? Like, is this be something real?
I can't think of anybody the same anymore.
I don't know.
Like, all these guys were wearing the uniforms of people that you would be careful around in North America.
Yeah.
You'd be like, these guys could be unstable.
I don't know.
Like, picking gang wars. Who knows? Yeah. And they're part of the double dutch. Just imagine meeting one of these guys, and the girl's like, oh, so what do you do? And be like, Friday, Kichijoji Station, midnight, come meet us in front of the abandoned Cebu. And she's like, oh no, what's going to happen? And be like, you'll see, don't tell your friends, it's kind of an illegal operation. Right. And she's like, my boyfriend's a hip hop star, like a break dancer. And he's like, Miss Susie had a steamboat, the steamboat had a bell, ring. Like,
so that's Friday. What do they do on Saturday? Do they go to the patty cake convention?
I am baffled.
It's just
what's it called, hopscotch people around the corner that are like secretly rolling dice and playing hopscotch.
And you know, like they've got their hula hoop crew as well that's happening.
Then on top of us about to have a meltdown about not believing what just occurred.
Right.
We continue our walk home.
Right.
We're like almost home and we're passing by
Bakwarai.
The Bakwarai is right across from a police station, right?
Bakwarai, and for those of you that don't know, is our favorite izakaya. I think probably the best izakaya in all of Japan. Everybody that I know that I've taken there has been amazed. Like nobody ever goes there's like, oh, that was all right. Everybody thinks it's just freaking
great
amazing.
Atmosphere, because great food, awesome. Yeah. Uh-huh. So we had to pass by, which was our original plan for the night, but we said we're going to be different. We're going to
try something new.
As we're walking past, they're closing up. And so we walk by and we see all the staff that we know.
Right.
The door's wide open. Yeah. They're breezing it out.
Exactly.
And they go, Simon, Martina, and they wave brightly at us, and we wave brightly at them. Mm. And then I notice the dude is literally counting his till, like his cash, right there at the table.
Yeah.
With the door wide open.
Not with his hands underneath the table or is counting the bills. He's holding it upright like he's
counting it like a rap video.
Like a rap video. There's so much rapping going on in Kichijoji. It was like a fat fist of huge amounts of bills
and
in his
I'm
hand.
Like, aren't the you doors worried? Open. The door's open.
Because I remember when I worked at the mall, and we had to count the till at the end, we had to make sure that we locked all of our
gates. Oh my gosh, me too.
We had to like double lock them. We had the like ceiling locks. We had the floor locks. We had that.
Yep.
And then like we have to like, there'd always be like two people there with you at the till.
Just one person has to watch.
You know, like just in case like some crazy person runs up in there and tries to steal your money.
Yep.
But that sense of threat is gone. And I feel like we're so broken. Like we have this sense of danger that I just don't think was bred into people in Japan. I don't think people feel the sense of like potential danger.
Yeah,
potential.
Someone might bust in here with a gun and try to rob me. I mean, I guess you wouldn't with Bakurai because they're literally across from the police station.
Yeah.
But still, you don't want to put that out there for people to see.
It's just so weird.
And they're like, be careful, tomorrow's a typhoon. And we're like,
be careful
thank
with
you.
Your money.
I'm like, put your money.
Someone can rob you.
Like, they're telling us to be careful. Oh, it was totally baffling.
So my guess is that none of this actually happened because none of this makes sense to me. The people at the Thai restaurant slipped something in our food because it was all just a haze of absurdity afterwards. It's one of our favorite experiences of a Saturday night. And I know that doesn't sound eventful. It's not like we went skydiving or anything. Literally all that we wound up doing was just went for a walk around a neighborhood and we just observed some things. And I think that we have like one of our favorite experiences of Japan ever. Just observe. Just walk around and look. Mm-hmm. Get off your phones. Look at the people around you and just soak it all in, and you might have wonderful memories that you go home with.
I think one of our favorite things that we always tell people who are visiting Japan is to not pack your schedule in too tightly, because a lot of people, like, I get it, you're visiting Japan for the first time, so you want to see Kyoto, you want to go to Tokyo, it might be your only chance.
Right.
But I feel like you can have a richer vacation if you were to, let's say, stay in a neighborhood in Tokyo. Like, when you do an Airbnb, you tend to stay in an actual neighborhood.
Yeah.
And you stay there for at least a week so that you get to know your walk, you get to know the people around you, and you get to kind of like go down those side streets and find people playing double dutch at 1 a.m. because what the heck.
It's great. That's all it is.
If any of you guys know about this double dutch business, if there is some Japanese organization, please let us know on our Facebook page or tweet us a link, because I still cannot believe what I saw.
Next Friday night, we're going to go back there and we're going to see if the Double Dutch crew is there, because we have to figure this out.
But they only show up after midnight.
Fine. I'll wait. I'll camp out there and try to find the Double Dutch crew.
Well, you might find the Cypher crew at least. Maybe they're the same people. We rap, shoot music videos, and play Double Dutch on our free time. And then we go to animal shelters to walk the dogs.
Okay, so that's it for our bizarre story this week. Sorry we went on for so long about this, but this was just a really weird, fun night. Yeah. And I hope that we've conveyed our sense of adventure and excitement to you. And hopefully when you come here, you can do the same.
If it's raining, put on your rain jacket and head on out, guys.
So that's it for this week. See you later, everyone.
Take care, everyone.
Bye-bye.
8YourKimchi Radio. Get the podcast from the free SBS Pop Asia app.
KCON 2017 Australia is this Friday and Saturday, and SBS Pop Asia will be broadcasting live on both days of the convention. The whole team will be there with heaps of fun at the Pop Asia booth. If you're coming to the convention, come and say hi. If you can't be there, well, we got you covered on the radio and online throughout the entire convention. SBS Pop Asia, official media partner of KCON 2017 Australia.